Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. I'm your host, Michelle Meshe. Hello to all in the chat room, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. And welcome all of you that are listening via the internet, right? The computer. And hello, everyone listening via the archives and iTunes later on. You're really here with us as well. Seems like you're joining us later. Anyway, a big audience that we have via iTunes, especially in the archives also. And welcome guests, people on the phone lines, listening by phone lines. Hello, hello. And speaking of phone lines, if you'd like to call in for reading, questions, comments, just to say hi, chat, to let us know how you're doing, that number is 347-539-5122. And press 1 on the keypad, and that gets you in queue. So 347-539-5122, press 1 on the keypad, and that gets you in the queue, and I'll pick up. Wow, happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm so grateful for all of you. I love our Wednesdays together, and actually working on expanding the show, so more to be revealed later. As you get in, if you let me know, we've got BT Radio, let me know about the sound. I'm trying something new. We've had some issues with sound, and I've had some people mention about the sound quality and going through a computer, and we're going through a different sound system now, so I'm hoping that it's better, that it's doing a lot better for everyone, including me, because I listen back to shows and as well. And I'm always learning, too, especially when I'm channeling or doing readings for people, because a lot of times I'll get information like, I need to know this, too, or, you know, I'm working on this as well. So I always say there is no grand poobahs on the path, and if anyone tries to tell you that they are done, you're never done. You're never complete. You get kind of almost done, but you're never really done. You're done maybe with one piece or one part, but of course, because... Let's hear my tea kettle. Because, you know, we're really expand or evolve, which is just allowing more consciousness and love, light, and wisdom into this earth plane. You know, we unfold in a spiral. So some of you, and I want to talk, let's see, before we dive in, I want to let everybody know, because people have been asking me this, the... Soul Path Workshop, the in-person one, I just want to let everybody know, is in 2 weeks, and all the teleseminar one is also in 2 weeks, and that's the Soul Path Workshop. There's one in the L.A. area, which will be on the 19th of October. I'm going to be really working with that retrograded energy to go deep, that Mercury conjunct Saturn in Scorpio that I have in October. It's powerful. Mid-October to November, and then we've got the gateways coming, the gateway portal of light, November, December, we're actually into January. We've got a very powerful part of, you know, last half of this year. So those of you that are working on things that you really want to rid, you want to get rid of, you're saying, I want to brush forward, I want to co-create my life, I want to get in there, I know what I really need now, I know what I want, I know what my soul, you know, trying to tell me, I'm listening to my soul's direction, I want more conscious relating, please join us, because the people that have been doing these Soul Path workshops are just evolving, expanding, drawing in, attracting more and more fulfillment, you know, career-wise, relationship-wise, with their own sense of self, their own empowerment, their own enlightenment, recognizing their light. And the workshop focus that we have this month, which again for the Keller workshop, is going to be Sunday, October 20th, is resonance reframing. And you can go to resonancereframing.eventbrite.com. That's resonancereframing.eventbrite.com. Many of you know that I've been working with resonance work, repatterning energetically using the alpha theta state, as well as some of my shamanic training as well. So it's a powerful time right now. It just really is. And if you also, if you want more support, more information, you can also go to my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. That's Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. Also join us on our Facebook page, Awakenings with Michelle Mache, if you'd like, you know, to keep in touch. You can also email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com and get on the newsletter, because I do updates of what's happening energetically. And I thank you all, too, for the support, because I've been getting a lot of support saying, I'm so glad we have these updates because I know what to expect and I've been preparing. You know, I've been, you know, they're forecasts. So they're predictive in nature. And I will tell you, in my workshops and my in-person work, I do get into more political or what's going on perhaps with earth changes or, you know, what we can expect. People dive into Illuminati, you know, star seeds. I will get into all that. And I will get into that when people ask those questions. However, I find on an everyday level, day to day, week to week, monthly, you need the meat and potatoes, or the tofu and potatoes, so you need the root vegetables. You need what's grounded and practical, and that's my piece on the soul path. That's what I came here to do for myself and for others. I'm receptive to the teachers that I work with that are in body and some that are not in body, the spiritual hierarchy, the oversoul, the guides that I work with, the angelic realm, the all that is, the I am. Those insights, you know, or for me as well. But I'm specifically working with people or helping people, and I've been doing this a long time. Actually, ever since I was a little girl, if you talk to my parents and some of my friends, they're like, oh, it's just Michelle. This is how she's always been. Just helping people be more themselves, which is aligning to their soul essence, their soul path, the soul alignment. That's what I'm helping. Even when I didn't work as esoterically and I was doing a lot of just what I call straight or regular bereavement counseling, hypnotherapy, transpersonal counseling, transpersonal psychology. When you get into transpersonal psychology, you do get into the transpersonal realm, the deeper realm. But I remember years ago I was at a, I don't remember the conference or the festival, but I had my CDs and my books and everybody had booths. And I remember this, you know, man, and I was performing what I was doing. I was just showing up. I didn't even know if you know, people that know me see the transformation of my business cards and in my website. I probably have had like 20 different business cards with all different kinds of things on it. Because, you know, when I started in this, I just fell into it. There was really no categories. I mean, there wasn't even life coaching or spiritual life coaching or intuitive counseling. You know, there was business coaches. There was psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, and business coaches. So I was like, oh, no. And, you know, I showed up at a meeting. Someone said, oh, you're not a business coach. You're a spiritual coach. You're a spiritual life coach. I thought, okay, that sounds good, you know. So anyway, I'm at this, you know, conference, and this guy, a bit older, kind of hippie, you know, new agey type, and he had all his decks of CDs. I mean, he had a huge vape. And he listened to my stuff. He goes, yeah, I like you. I like you. He bought some of my stuff. He says, yeah, you're a metaphysical hypnotherapist healer. You know, you're blending the metaphysical in there. And I'm like, yeah, I do that. You could tell, you know. So why I'm sharing with this with all of you right now is, you know, not to be afraid of your unfolding and that you may not have the title or what exactly it is that you do. You may not have that information. And usually when that happens, that means you're coming from a deeper place. You know, because just as soon as we start understanding or thinking we understand what we're doing or knowing what we're doing, somehow it changes, right? So we're constantly unfolding. And in fact, a lot of people that still work with me over the years, And I did this work also while I was modeling and acting as well. I mean, this has always been not just my work, but my vocation or avocation and my passion. You know, people have told me, Michelle, we stick with you or we come back to you because you're always growing. You're always, you know, you don't stop. And part of that is information, but because of the guides that I work with. And part of that's because I have my meditation classes, not only that I teach, but that I receive. You know, and my mentors, my teachers, my therapists, my, you know, spiritual nudgers. So not beyond support and that's, you know, we're ever unfolding. And I think if you're ever unfolding, you know, you're going to reach out for assistance. And I think about people, you know, that I work with, a lot of, you know, A-list actors. Celebrities, as you would say, and boy, they get a new role. I got a coach for this, or you know, they got a workout coach, or they come to me for meditation or stress reduction, or they come to me, you know, help me plan my career, you know, psychically, what's coming up, what do I need to prepare for? And I find that people that are most able are not afraid to ask for assistance or help or support, whether it's friends and family, but even going outside that. I think sometimes you need to go outside your immediate circle and get that objective input. And develop those kinds of trust relationships. And it also gives somebody else a chance to shine and share their gifts as well, or their viewpoint on something. So don't be afraid right now not to have it all zipped up, and especially right now in regards to relationships. We're at such a powerful time right now. Since 2009, and even Jude Clervan, I'll have to ever go back on, talked about this, the wonderful cosmologist, an astrologer, you know, said we 2009 we went into the, I call it the adjustment or the correcting phase of right relationship. And our first right relationship is to ourselves, right? We have to honor our life and why we're here, that we are special, we're meant to be here, before we can truly honor others and see their specialness, you know, without neediness or covetedness, right? So we're really, the major part of that soul alignment is all about relationship, because we're in this world relationally. Everything and everyone is in relationship to everything else. Is either a mirroring, a perceiving, is either a window into someone, or it's mirroring something for you. Okay, you're either seeing into someone and seeing their uniqueness and their beauty and how they're different than you, or there's a mirroring and you're seeing the similarity or the sameness. So we've got that going on. We've got that wonderful interplay. And I know for myself, I've been challenged right now in deeper relating and just learning a lot and kind of thrown back on myself for a little bit. But I'm rebounding back. And again, it's all about what's that deeper foundation. So for some of you that are going through challenges right now, and I've got quite a few emails about this, what I'm going to read in particular, know that, no, it's not that you didn't evolve or you're slipping back. You're hitting a deeper part on the spiral. And I call, you know, I've been doing this with some of my close friends. It's like, let's do a deeper relationship. Let's do deeper relating. Let's do conscious relating, conscious relationship. We're here to assist each other in consciousness. And one of the main ways we do it is through relationship. It doesn't matter if it's a grocer or you're healing somebody, it's a client, a customer, you know, a lover, a friend, a husband, a spouse, or whatever, wife, whatever, you know, whatever your thing is, your friendship is at the, you know, apex of all of it. You will be called in, especially with what we've got coming up the close of the year, you know, starting now, but in the next couple of weeks, people are going to be challenged. And the message is, hey, do you want to go deep and really fly, or do you want to just skim the surface, you know? And many people are also having to learn balance, you know, work with balance situations. You know, what is the most important? I can tell you, during transition work as a shaman and also as a bereavement counselor, people, when they're crossing over, so they're happy about the legacy that they've done. You know, maybe they put a wing up in UCLA or Harvard or something, or, you know, whatever. They went over to Africa and, you know, helped this group or that group. That's really not what they remember. They remember the love. They remember the connecting. They remember the relating. And so you will find yourself this month challenged to that. You know, I talked about it in my blog, the October Solar Insights, the Solar Forecast. So if you go to Solar Insights for Spirit-Led Living, I talk about this. What everyone is being really kind of pinched to look at is, what do you really want? So October brings us a focus of relating and relationship, recognizing that you're in relationship and how are you relating? How truthful can it be, even if it's squirmish or, you know. By the way, relating is messy. It's not always neat and tidy because it involves energy and motion, emotions, and it involves feelings, and it involves people getting triggered. And it involves sometimes us going through periods of time where we don't know what we want because we're changing. So October kicks off a whole series of change, redirection of energy, doors opening, some being closed, some being slammed, some being slightly open, windows opening, portals opening. It's all about preparing further and further the mental, emotional, and physical body. It's very important, the physical body, to be able to handle more consciousness, which means more love, light, and wisdom, more light energy, an intensification of energy. We are opening to receive more. And so you might want to shut down really quickly because you freak out, and then you open back up and go, okay, now I see what this feels like. I'm ready for this. And I was telling a friend of this to me, of mine, rather, in my booty yoga class, and here's what she said, bring it on, I'm ready. So let's make a little fun commitment with each other, a wonderful awakenings community, to bring it on. Just bring it on. Just open and say, I'm ready, and what I can't handle, I'll get support for. You know, whether it's through meditation, prayer, and you'll see, where do you need the support? Is it on the physical? Is it the physical body that needs support? Is it the material? Is it the mental body? Is it the emotional body? I can tell you right now where we are with the this part of the shift of the awakening. It's for many people, it is going to be the emotional, physical body. You know, we're really moving out of the mental plane. So, and that's why working with the subtle energy, that's why the Soul Path workshops that I facilitate, we do very little with the mental, very little with ideas, you know, beliefs, a little bit with that, but we're getting into the meat of it, the bone, the root vegetables of what we're about, which is the energy, which is the resonance, which is there enough coherence there to draw in what it is that you want to experience? And if there's not, let's put the coherence there. Let's get the resonance there. Let's put it there. But you have to put it there energetically, see. Can't the mental, the mind is a great tool, but we're going beyond the mind. We're using the mind to go beyond the mind into the subtle energy, into the energetic matrix, the energetic form, where we're going into the stuff that creates mind stuff, that creates then the action, behavior, or the form. So we're diving or swimming into that formlessness. I wanted to share, let's see, James, just for your own reference, he's saying, last week was a shocker for me in regards to emotional upheaval, all relationships. All settled now, but it was crazy and has caused me to resolve my work relationships. Your last week's insights were so relevant. It's incredible how tuned in you are. Thank you, James. I'm just being open to the receptivity of the guides, the guidance. And thank you for that, because it's, you know, I'm receiving information not just for everyone else, but also for myself. So. Okay, I know who Poobah's here. Let's see. Okay, just going to say a quick hello to the new people that have come in the chat that are listening. And we're going to get the phone line, readings, questions. And again, you can also email questions in. A lot of listeners do that, or email your comments to awakeningsradio@gmail.com, and I always love here now. Oh, want to just give a little shout out. Those of you in the LA, Pacific Palisades, Santa Monica, Venice, Malibu area, or even over the valley. So if you're local to the Malibu area, this Saturday, which is October 12th, from 11 to 4, PC Greens in Malibu is celebrating 20 years in Malibu. And it's a wonderful kind of health food store, deli, and they're going to have it's called the Taste of PC Greens, a lot of vendors there, a lot of freebies, music, food. A friend of mine who has the company, Pick Me, Cacao Creations, they're gluten-free, sugar-free, wonderful little yummy. I've liked her on my Facebook page. You can find her there as well. But anyway, so if you're looking for something to do on Saturday and you're like, oh, I kind of just feel like roaming around and mingling and meeting some people and just a new experience, that's going to be the Taste of PC Greens in Malibu, and that's 11 to 4 this Saturday, October 12th. So more immediately and kind of even more deliciously to me, we have Robert Wilkinson will be with us coming up a little bit, 12:30 here. And many of you know him from his amazing resource center, also known as blog, AquariusPapers.com. And he always gets so much insight from him. And I have to get him back more often. He's quite busy, but we'll do what we can to get him back on as much as possible. And I hope you guys can be having some webinars, I believe, coming up as well. So that'll be some further way to contact him. I was just looking, and I'm going to have to talk to him a little bit. I was just looking through some old workshops that I had attended years ago, and I met Robert, I believe, 2004, earlier than that, I believe, through mutual acquaintance in the spiritual integration self-help world, I guess you would say. Okay, we're going to get to a couple callers. Just keep it real quick to one question. And if I don't get to you today, there's always next Wednesday and it'll be even sweeter. So we'll do that. We're cutting the reading portion down a little bit shorter because we just have so much fun. He's always got so much insight. Okay, hello, 847-689. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hello, this is Jill.
Hi, Jill. What's your question?
My question is I've been having a really hard time, and it stems back from, you know, being an abused child and being the youngest and the scapegoat and the punching bag, and I've had to stuff everything, and it's kept me stuck, and I just want to, I've had healings and things, and I've made some breakthroughs, but I just want to move beyond it. What do you get?
Okay. Well, I do feel for you, support is key. It's interesting that I was, and gosh, that's what I got, it tuned in psychically. I got it as a flash from the guys, and then I tuned. You know, I'm going to say, here's for all of us, and I come from that kind of background as well. You know, I said it at the beginning of the program, you're never totally done, but what happens is you don't live by it. You know, I used to do a lot of work with at-risk youth, especially as a model, and I would show up and I would ask people, what kind of life do you think I had? What kind of family I came from? And boy, they were so off the mark. I mean, so, oh, you went to a prep school, you grew up here, you did this, you did that, you know? And not that I didn't have a good education, but nobody picked up the abuse. And again, some people don't carry it as much. All I can tell you is to make sure that you're getting continually the support and not looking at what happened to you on the earth plane as your state of being. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. But
yeah.
See, I don't know how to look for support because I was told all my life I didn't deserve it. I wasn't entitled to it.
I know.
Because nobody wanted to get up and do anything.
I know. I understand. And that's why I have things like very affordably my daily own course, Navigate Your Greatest Soul Shift, it's very healing. And I do monthly, twice a month, one in the L.A. area, a Soul Path workshop and a teleworkshop. All I can suggest to you is sign up for it. This one is Resonance Reframing. You can go to resonancereframing.eventbrite.com. Because what I have learned over the years of tons of my own inner work, I mean, I've done everything you could ever imagine, from the most esoteric, the most occulty, to the most, you know, trendy, whatever, to the most...
Right, I hear
you. You know, psychological. You've got to bypass the mind at some point. You've got to, and you've got to work energetically. And so I've seen people that have had extreme abuse, even sexual abuse, extreme sexual abuse, flying, taking hold of their life. What I say is I help people move from coping to thriving. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sell you the happy pill like a lot of people do. Oh, you'll get over it. You're going to have times every now and then, and you have to go. That's the earth experience is what it does is it puts you in resonance to be able to help people later with those similar issues. But it has nothing to do with your consciousness. It has nothing to do with who or what you are. But it is something that you're going to have to, that comes up every now, and it's going to impact your life. And you have to just go, oh, I mean, I had something a couple of weeks ago that I did that I was like, oh, my God, I was mortified. It's such a triggering from, like I was back 22 years old. But you know what? I owned up, and my friends couldn't even believe it. No one could. And I said, you know what? I did it. I'm normal. I did something that everybody, oops, I made a boo-boo. I made a big. So I feel for you, your task is to get the support, the midwifery, to move into that space that you can have that lightness of being. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to come from support, and usually it's some type of also group support as well. But I hope that helps you a bit, because I do feel that the guides told me it's support. It's coming through psychically as well as from the guides. That's the key for you.
Okay.
All right, Jill.
That was helpful. Thank you.
Good. Big hug.
And it's good to hear that I'm not alone in, like, things that happened to me.
No, one day I'll get into it. I mean, when I write my book, you know, I've done a lot in the past, a lot of workshops, and I've shared tidbits. But the thing for me is I don't want to get it in the way of becoming, because some people, I think, they come out there and it's great, but people get hooked on the story. I'm kind of hooked on the solution. It's like, okay, we're hiking. I got rolled around in the mud. We're hiking at night. You kicked me a few times because people that hurt us are unconscious. They're no wounded. So you kicked me and it hurt. You're an idiot. You know, maybe some stronger language. And we're in the mud. But you know what? I got my let's go. Let's get on our bikes and let's ride up the hill. You know, or let's, you know, whatever. So that's where I'm playing from right now. So I want you to know that you are getting through it. And if you have some bad days, that's okay. Just remember, it's not a reflection on your spiritual nature or your consciousness. Okay?
Okay.
You have this experience to be able to help people, even if it's just somebody, you know, at the grocery counter, or you're in the bathroom at some restaurant and somebody opens up to you. That's a sacred healing right there. And you, because of what you've gone through, you will be able to help, and I'm sure you already have anyway, help someone.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, see? All right, Jill. Big hug.
Thank you.
Hi, 515-229. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. This is Carson.
Hey, Carson. Hi.
Hey. Hi. I wondered about, like, I'm trying to move right now in my life physically and from one location to another, and it's not opening up. And I'm feeling, like, confused about why it's not opening up. Like, am I not supposed to? I'm trying to move closer to a school that I'm going to. And nothing is, it's like the door is not opening. And I'm just kind of confused about why.
Delay. Okay, now look, sometimes it has something to do, I don't know if it's relationship for you or just not pushing so much, having a little bit of play time and space. It'll happen. I don't know if it may be the close of the year, but it may even eke into February, March. It may be the beginning of next year that you actually move. But you will move. This is where our inner wisdom comes in, because sometimes the door closed or being hard to open, sometimes it means we're on the wrong path or track, or we're just slightly off. Or sometimes it's a delay for whatever reason. Maybe someone you're meant to meet and connect with is right in your area. So I don't feel for you It's not about moving. It's just a slight delay right now.
Okay.
It will happen. But what you need to do, you need to lighten up a little and have some more play in your life. Because your school, you're very serious right now, which is cool. But find some ways to just have a little more silliness, some laughter, maybe get with some pals. Open to relationship is, you know, I mean, we're always in relationship, but, you know, the little romantic-y one, the little saucy one. Open to some sauciness in your life right now. Okay, Carson.
Okay.
You can
be saucy
and go back to school. You can be saucy and be, a sadhu, you know.
Yeah.
By the way,
okay.
I want to check in. Okay, good. I found.
You want to check in about what?
Oh, the sound.
Oh, okay.
Is the sound okay? No, just
the chat is good. Yeah, the sound is good.
Okay, great. I'll make sure.
All right, cool. All right. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks for calling in. You're welcome.
All right.
Great. All right. So we have coming on air Robert Wilkinson of Aquarius Papers, internationally known futurist, metaphysician, and spiritual astrologer. He's also been working as a spiritual counselor and strategic analyst for over 35 years using astrology, spirit, and the archetypes to help people move through the intersections of fate. He has one of the largest astrological metaphysical blogs in the world, with visitors from over 130 countries and over 6.5 million page views. And I know it's up to him. He is really a wealth of insight and information, and we're always not only blessed but tickled to have him on the program. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Michelle, and everybody else.
Yeah, we are moving and grooving, ready and waiting.
We are. And in fact, I'll tell you, we're about to hit our 10 millionth page view in about a week and a half. It's we have a community. Yeah, we have this great community all over the world. I find that what we once called like cultural creatives or new age or progressive stuff, it's really people that have decided to think outside the box, live outside the box, and dedicate themselves to living a better life on their own behalf as well as for their world, and that we are around the world. There are millions of us. I'm absolutely convinced. I've been listening in, and I just took a few notes on some things your callers were saying, and you are so correct that we're getting the emotional and the physical in sync. That's part of the great leap forward humanity took at the last solstice. No more can we split the mind and body and feelings. We now are tasked with living a more integral approach. And it's not that we're going to do it perfectly, because, you know, there's seven great energy types, and we all have different mixes of those energy types in us. And so some of us are better at the arts, and some are better at the sciences, and some are better at philosophy. You know, some are just some, like the scientists will find realization differently than the artist or the person who does their own philosophical spiritual practice. But ultimately, higher realization can come any one of a billion ways. And what occurred to me, you know, when you were talking about getting the emotional and the physical in sync, it's because we have lower triad of body, feelings, and lower mind. We have a higher triad that mirrors that of higher mind, soul, and spirit, or Atman, as they say in the East. And so the higher mind and the lower mind kind of mirror each other, and they have to work it out between them. We have to get our feelings in sync in order so that we can express the higher feelings of the soul, and we have to get our bodies halfway in sync with our feelings and minds so that the electricity of spirit can work through the higher triad and actually be anchored in us. We're here to anchor that higher awareness and that higher truth. And
here on this dimension.
You bet. And basically, this ties in with the Saturn function in all of us, because Saturn is like Dharma. It's the ring pass. It's the lessons we have to learn, whether we want to or not. And based on what sign it is, those are the lessons we're learning at any given time. excuse me, when we had Saturn in Libra from late 2009 to October of 2012, we all learned a whole different standard of measurement around right relationships, all of us. We all got a different standard. We got a different sense of proportion, a different sense of perspective about what is a fair and equal way of moving through our world. Now Saturn's in Scorpio. First of all, we're having to be very patient these days because of the Mercury conjunction to Saturn, the prior Venus conjunction. This is teaching us all a lot of patience. And all the other Saturn virtues, discipline and organization and all the Saturn, but Saturn's also been conjunct the North Node. So I look at Saturn and Scorpio conjunct the North Node. It's like delayed gratification. We're all having to learn delayed gratification.
Yeah.
And it's why some things have seemed so mired. Now, the thing is along with what Saturn's been teaching us, especially during those great T-squares and crosses of 2010, which fractured a lot that then we had to reintegrate and recombine on the basis of the Saturn in Libra. Now we're getting a whole lot of T-squares and grand cross fracturing between, I guess it was June, and it will all culminate in this giant mess next spring. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And all of these squares, first of all, it's all set up by Uranus and Aries, square Pluto and Capricorn, and that's the great collision of philosophies and worldviews and economies, and the whole tension that's going on in the world can be defined as progressives, putting the brakes on regressives, or the coercive people wanting to hold the power, and the new era is about non-centralized power. It's about cooperation. It's about synergy. It's about synthesis. It's not about hierarchical, top-down, old-school structure, power structure.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this big tension going on anyway, and this is still going to be with us for another few years. It's why so many things are so tense right now. And every time planets are in Cancer, it forms a T-square, and we have to practice good Libra. That was our big test in June and July and early August, was to find the right perspective, the right balance, the right rhythm, the right just proportion. Now all of the planets in Libra are opposing Uranus and squaring Pluto, throwing the energy back into Cancer. Right now we're having to figure out what we need as opposed to what we want. See, there's a difference here. Most people are not, they're trained to desire that which other people want, and without thinking whether or not it's true for them or whether it'd be good for them to actually have that desire. So at this time, we had a chance to really target our needs. Back in the summer when Jupiter was in early Cancer and Mars was in early Cancer and Mercury and Venus and the Sun were all in Cancer, we had a chance to figure out what we cared about, what we felt, what we needed. And that was part of the grand water trine, because the water trines are helping all of humanity understand and get clear about what to feel, how to feel it, why they're feeling it, and how to bring harmony, stability, and understanding out of what at times are very chaotic feelings, very, very goopy feelings, because think about it, we're all feeling more. That means we're feeling the pain of the world. You know, we're feeling everybody else's feelings. The barrier between thinking and feeling was lessened at that last winter solstice. That was part of the bridge work of humanity getting from pre-2012 to where we're going to be by 2020 and 2025. And in order for that to happen, some things have to fracture. Not just in the outer world and its control systems, but in our own sense of things. We can't, I mean, sometimes, look, we may be relatively comfortable, you know, in the ego structure we created, but it may not be adequate for us to do what we have to do and learn what we have to learn and get on with the business of growing and demonstrating our spiritual self. because it's no longer enough just to realize our spiritual self. Now we have to practice it. And that means when we don't particularly feel patient, we don't particularly feel like doing the right thing. And we have to, because this is a time when we're chewing up tremendous amounts of old karma through the fracturing, you know, the squares and the crosses. We get to keep breaking up all the material that doesn't work for us. And
that was
in
my
that,
next question.
We,
the breaking. So you're saying this fracturing is actually just. I almost feel like an ice pick, or you're picking through the ice. It's breaking stuff up that you're saying is not fitting for us, or that would. That's obviously not life enhancing, but. Do we have a part? I mean, an analytical. It seems like there's not an analytical, and I'm going to say conscious, not consciousness, but a conscious part in this. It seems to be coming from a deeper place, Robert. Is that true, or is it? Can we assist in this? I guess.
Well, astrology only shows us the timing on the changes and the phase shifts in the outer reality. And when either we're going to get clear about something, or when it's a productive time for something, or when we're going to get our buttons pushed or whatever, none of this absolves us of taking the high road and learning a certain detachment from old patterns that no longer nourish us, that no longer get the job done, that no longer represent our truth of being. You know, sometimes we have to change pattern whether we want to or not. I mean, the behaviors that we're finding in our 20s may not be when we hit our 40s, and they certainly aren't when we hit our 60s. You know, there's different skills that have to be practiced at different times in life, and that comes as a result of different realizations along the way. And it's just like we have a couple of eclipses coming up. Well, I call eclipses God's recyclers, because whether we want to or not, we are forced to eliminate, shut down, and let go of certain things wherever the eclipse falls in our chart. Now, you can never lose what's really you. And and that being the case, you know, in other words, you can't, I mean, we are holographic electromagnetic beings of loving magnetic attraction. We can't lose us. That's impossible. It's like we can't lose somebody who's a true friend. We can only lose those who are not true friends. You see, it's that easy. That's why anytime you're wondering about a relationship, or you're trying to find a new profession or something, I try to remind you, go to yourself. Go to the deepest, most inmost part of you, your truth of being, and realize that everything you've ever constructed out there, in the way of relationships, in the way of jobs, in the way of ideals, in the way of whatever, all of those things were thought forms that came out of what you believed you wanted and didn't want. Well, you can get what is true for you. See, that's the one thing that unfortunately a lot of the Power of Positive Thought and The Secret and all that stuff didn't tell you, is that you can image it and you can affirm it, but if it's not true for you, it's not going to happen. I've managed to push the river in my life, get a little bit of what I wanted, but then it still collapsed because it was an ego effort rather than who I really, really was and what I needed to further my highest self. And so you want to be in a good relationship, become the highest, best, most aware, most kind and loving and compassionate and intelligent and wise human being you can be. Then you might attract a really cool person.
I like that.
That's right. That's right.
That attraction. So I love it. So this breaking up. So what do you see with this wonderful, intense, Roto-Rooter deepening, lightening up conjunction that we're coming in, the Saturn conjunct Mercury? in Scorpio. That's and obviously it's a retrograde as well.
Well, the thing is, yeah, is that all these planets conjunct Saturn in Scorpio, okay? And Venus was the first one this year, and she conjuncted Saturn back in September, and then Mercury has just conjuncted, and the Sun will be conjuncted, and then Mercury's going to retrograde and conjunct it again, and then it's going to go direct and conjunct it again. Mm. I see this as a good thing. I really do, because Saturn...
Okay.
Saturn forces us to learn maturity and how to lift the chains of mental slavery off of our shoulders and take responsibility for steering our life in a direction of best function, best learning, best. And it's not anybody else's ticket. It's our ticket. So Saturn teaches us what we can do and what we can't do and what we have to learn to live with and what we must not live with anymore. Saturn really helps us get clear about our roles. You know, what? Why are we here and what is our duty? What is our obligation? It's where we learn to examine the limits of loyalty and disinterestedness. It's where we say, well, there's more important things going on, and I have to be about my father's business, to quote a great one. Saturn's what puts it in our face, where we don't, the chains we don't need anymore, the limits we don't need anymore, the fears we don't need anymore, because Saturn represents our fear, because it's the boundary of where our fear meets our healing into our higher self of Chiron and the true individual spirituality of Uranus. You know, so Saturn is, that's why they call it the ring past knot. If you don't make Saturn your friend, then Saturn's going to be an oppressor. And, you know, we are our own oppressors. And even when others seem to be oppressing us, it's only because we've allowed that. All we got to do is say no. I mean, it's not that hard, you know, unless you've got shackles on you, you know. And there are psychological shackles, and those are the ones we really have to break, the ones that keep us from seeing our eternal freedom as a spirit soul to explore infinity. We, as human spirit souls, get to learn forever. And you were right earlier. We are always in the becoming. It's never. We're not angels. We don't have this perfect form in heaven that then we become. We are, you know, manas in the East. We are the mind. We are creatures of divine mind who have a capacity for love and for inspiration. And through love and inspiration and experience, we can become wise. And we can become really intelligent in our functioning, in the sense that we can learn to adapt as needed to whatever is what I would call the corrective force of nature herself. That we become the correction. I was just telling somebody about this, that they're wondering how squares and oppositions work. And to me, once we understand how to use squares and oppositions productively, then we can find ourselves in the middle of really squared and opposing people and situations and ideas, where we become the corrective force. We become sort of the divinity squaring or opposing whatever it is that's dysfunctional in that situation. And it's important to remember that, because then you become the answer to your brother and sister's problem, and you can't take a lot of it personally if they're frictional with you, you know, because that's just the nature of it. They're going to be antagonistic toward that which challenges their ego to take a higher road. So that's being joyous, truly being joyous, lightening up. You know, they say angels fly because they take themselves lightly. Well, we get so thick and heavy here, even in terms of our practice, our spiritual practice, we have to do this, and if it doesn't look like this, and if it doesn't feel like this, then we're not doing it right, and wow, it's so heavy. And you know, most of the time we spend worrying it's not going to solve anything, and the worst rarely comes to pass, and mostly it's unproductive wheel spinning. And I just, it's just the nature of the mind. And that's mm-hmm. why we have to learn, you know, a certain detachment, because it's all part of learning about the delusion of self. And there is a delusion of the lower self that prevents itself from identifying with the higher self. You know, and basically we have to understand that the self that we believe matters isn't even real. And that the self that really matters is the part of us that loves, that is joyous, that is playful, that is creative, that is pure, loving, radiant, overlapping energy. The part of us that recognizes the aliveness in the earth and all the earth's creatures and each other. That's who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly the changes are meant, because we do live in an impermanent reality, and the changes that happen here are meant to teach us how to just detach a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Detach from our ideas about what we think is good and bad and right and wrong, what will fulfill us, and do we really desire this. And we have to learn detachment, because our desire body is not real. Well, I mean, it's real enough while we're here. We have to have a certain number of desires when we're younger, or we're not even going to want to eat, if you know what I mean. Why get up out of bed if you don't have a desire body? So we do have a desire body, but the trick is to train it so that it desires what truly nourishes us. And that's what Jupiter in Cancer has been teaching us since June and until next June, is what do we care about? How can we take care of ourselves? How can we take care of what matters? Who is taking care of us? Who do we feel close to? Who is our family? And in that sense, I think that the older we get, the more we realize that our biological family had relatively little to do with who our true spiritual family is. I mean, they may, and they certainly contributed to our journey. But, you know, in the journey of souls, we are related to lots of different beings across time, and we overlap with a lot of different soul groups. And that's why we have so many types of love. That's why we love so many people and so many things, and that's why we get frustrated when we don't get it. And part of this life is learning, you know, how to change the pattern of negative habits in acting, in feeling, and in thinking. You know, to look at those physical, emotional, mental patterns that are not really bringing us the fulfillment we're looking for. And at critical times, like at squares and oppositions, realize what we need to realize, shift our responses, shift what we do and how we do it, shift what we feel, how we feel it, why we feel it, you know, taking a whole different look at the purpose of our emotional body, and not being unafraid to examine the deep, dark spaces, because really all that's just learned fear. And we have to get over fear. That's part of the big job, because there's literally nothing to fear. Fear is an absence of love. And where there is fear, the antidote is love. And it doesn't mean that all things are to be tolerated. We certainly don't need to be around unkind and brutal people. But then that's also, why are we there? You know, I mean, unless it's our sacred sworn duty to be there, there's no particular reason to expose ourselves to the problematic or violent or degrading side of things. I mean, we can't spurn it, but we also can't seek it out. And a lot of times when we're young, we're taught, you know, to be bad boys and bad girls, and to, you know, take a walk on the wild side. And it's okay, maybe, as long as you've got a decent sense of proportion and you don't continue it, you know, past your teenage years. I suppose it's okay. But That's what I mean. See, there's different phases and stages of life, and mostly everything that happens up to the age of 21 is a function of us having chosen that parental and cultural environment so that we could incubate from birth to 21. At 21, our personality is in the same relationship with our soul as it was when we checked out in our last life. So that's another reason why we can't take a lot of our childhood experiences personally, because they were there to play out a narrative so that we could start the walk anew and change those patterns that need changing and cultivate the patterns that need cultivating, so that then at that first Saturn turn in the late 20s and we forge a new sense of purpose out of what we brought to the table in our teens and 20s. And that sense of purpose, what we can live in, what we can't live with, you know, in our late 20s, is what we chase in our 30s and 40s. But then it plays itself out around 49, and we go through a series of very interesting things in our 50s that shapes whether or not our life will be fulfilling in our old age. And that's, by the way, that was what the first webinar was about. I called it Navigating Your 50s, because I think that the 50s are the single critical most decade of a human life, because the choices you make and the realizations and understanding you come to in your 50s determines whether or not your 60s and 70s and, God willing, 80s are a struggle or if they're fulfilling. And I thought that that might be a good place to start, you know, a good talk to begin with, given how difficult most people have. People have a lot of difficulty getting from 49 to 60. They have a hard time because there's just a whole lot of stuff that crashes and collapses, and everything, a lot of stuff that used to be true just isn't true anymore, and you realize you're not going to be able to get that or do that or fulfill that. And there's a certain sequence of points where you can come to a higher understanding about who you are and what you're here to do based on what you've learned and what you've experienced. And you can really be very a meaningful person in your world doing what you came to do. But you have to learn to navigate certain key things. That's, I mean, again, you have to navigate the period certainly between 26 and 29. That takes you out of being 25 and throws you firmly into being somewhere in your 30s and 40s. Mm. And astrology's life cycles, getting back to something you said, they show us the timing. They don't tell us what choice we're going to make.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the nature of free will.
Mm. Robert, what do you think helps people make better choices? I think a lot of people, you know, calling and, you know, wanting to make choices, but you know, there's choices and then there's choices, you know.
Well, I mean, look, I got into astrology because it actually helped me make sense of why certain things happened when they did. And yet there are some things I also saw where I had some degree of choice that I could steer this direction or that direction. I could say yes or I could say no. There was no question that I was hitting these points, what I would call a rendezvous with destiny. Because, you know, character is destiny. As you make your character, you make your destiny, and you make your character by the choices you make along the way. You know, and the attitude you have about it. Because realistically, I think we all need more of a sense of humor about the absurdity of a very tragic world that seems to come and go and come and go, and things show up and then they disappear, and, you know, where is my body that I had 20 years ago? Where is that face? Where did it go? Where, you know, how come, you know, you turn around and you know, they're gone? And that's where I think the more that we can remember that all of us, unless we're masters of yoga on the level of Babaji, all of us are going to check out one day, and there's no guarantee that it won't be day after tomorrow. And if you really lived with that kind of focus, not with the sense of desperation or even sadness, but with the sense that every day is precious. What are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Why are you clutching at what you're clutching at? Why are you delaying what you're delaying? Because ultimately, we can't hold on to it if it's no longer true for us, and that's what eclipses do. And we get four of them every year, sometimes six, and these things last for anywhere from a few weeks to a few years. And so, you know, sometimes, like, we're still feeling the after effects of the eclipses of December of 2011. I mean, we're still feeling all the 2012 eclipses, all the 2013 eclipses. All those solar eclipses are still working out in various sectors of our map. And, you know, just by looking at where the nodes were, you can pretty much see where you were setting some long-term growth into motion and where you were being forced to let go and let God. And, you know, and plus, the other thing is, longtime fans of your show know, as I mentioned to you, this coming lunar eclipse is going to trigger what I've termed the grand irrationality, because the moon's going to be in the Aries zone and Mercury's going to be in the Scorpio zone, and that's actually had partly, that has symbolized the hard-edged irrationality that has pervaded our world since the mid-90s. And we're just now barely at the front end of the end. Okay, right now there's a few months every year where it's not, Neptune and Pluto are not exactly in septile, so it doesn't really work quite as intensely as it has been over the last 12 years. The last 12 years have been a big mess as far as things being really crazy. And we're now at the far end of that. We're now past that depth of craziness. I mean, it's still going on all around us, but at least there's daylight down the road. Now, we did want, and by the way, the grand irrationality will be triggered again by transits November 8th through 13th, November 25th through 29th, November 29th through December 7th. And Saturn's going to be camped out there from mid-November all the way to January. And all those conjunctions to Pluto are going to set it off in late December and early January. And here's where I want to put out something right now. We have a chart, but then there's also the planets in the sky that represent the transits, and they represent sort of the external forces, you know, in our reality that move us. And there are some very, very frictional, generic forces called aspects that are going on right before New Year's and right after New Year's. So I want everybody listening to this show to really be very thoughtful and very careful the last 3 days of December and first 3 days of January. There's just a tremendous amount of friction that's going on during that period, and it actually starts right before December 27th through the Mars-opposed Uranus. And a lot of what we're going to experience in late December, last 10 days of December, first 10 days of January, can help us prepare for what I believe is going to be a grand fracturing of an exact cardinal T-square the third week of April, involving Mars at 14 Libra, Uranus at 14 Aries, Pluto at 14 Capricorn, and Jupiter at 14 Cancer. That will fracture a lot of things. And by the way, when T-squares integrate, so they kind of challenge us through friction to integrate or reintegrate. Grand crosses are not integrative. They're fracturing or paralyzing. They represent four forces that are equally strong to pull, contrary to every other force in the configuration. and one of the most dramatic grand crosses we ever had was back in 1999. I think it was an eclipse, I'm not sure, but that 1999 grand cross in Leo set up everything that happened in 2000, 2001, and 2002. And that was probably one of the worst periods of descent into hell for the entire world, given what happened between the summer of 99 and the summer of 2002, 2003. The world was plunged into war. You know, the whole thing was just crazy. And I attribute it directly to that grand cross of the summer of 99. And this one in April is going to be very big, and it's especially going to clobber people with any planets anywhere near right around 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 of Aries and Cancer and Libra and Capricorn, and also anybody with planets in late Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. And this will really this is going to be a big deal. And so that's why I tell people, pay attention to what you're being shown, especially now when the planets are in Libra, because there was that grand cross that happened right around the middle of September with Mercury. And even though it's an offset cross, there's still enough of a cross right now because of the Sun in Libra and Uranus in Aries and Pluto in Capricorn. That was the recent, you know, new moon that I wrote about on the site. That threw a lot of energy into Cancer. And so, again, that's why the challenges are in terms of right perspective about what to feel and what to care for and how to protect what needs protecting, nurture what needs nurturing. And you might say this has all been a great dress rehearsal for what's going to come when Mars goes into Libra and begins to make these continual T-squares and grand crosses, beginning around the end of December, and it's going to continue into January, and then Mars is going to be retrograde again, and they're going to be in full friction in April, and then May and June. And so we get a dress rehearsal. We get to really take a look at what's going on in late December and early January and figure out what we need to do to prepare for what will show up in the spring. So heads up, everybody out there, take note and make your adjustments as needed in December and January, because you're seeing what's coming. Mm. Now,
how do we know what to prepare, Robert? What were you going to say? And hold that thought. I wanted to put it out there that if people have questions or comments relative to what we're talking about and not personalized, I mean, it could be personal with you, but it has to be fitting in the broader picture of what we're talking about that other people can share in. You can call in at 347-539-5122. I'll keep a watch on the clock, and we'll see if we can get some questions in, because I know some of you do like to get an email. I wanted to say hi to Robert. We will allow for that. So I'm just giving everyone a heads up. And just press 1 on the keypad. Okay, Robert, so dive in, and I'm going to keep watch on the clock, too. I want to make sure people can say hi to you if they want to.
Well, really, there's only a couple of more things, you know, that I had originally planned on covering before I threw it open anyway. And one is the coming Mercury retrograde. So get all of your paperwork and plans in shape, and don't buy any electronics between the 21st of October and right around the second week of November. This Mercury retrograde is really going to be a good one. It makes some fabulous aspects. And so a lot of what we've been experiencing, for example, the first 19 days of October, we're going to get a very favorable review or return or new insights, new understandings, new development, that in some ways we're really going to understand some things in late October and early November that will be very productive, specializing, and extraordinarily unique. And see, a lot of the a lot of our plans, kind of in a very strange way, will move forward in November after that retrograde. Now, the thing is, and this is what I was telling you, we have this coming lunar eclipse involves Sun in Libra, Moon in Aries. So that will involve a few weeks of shutting things down in the late Aries Libra part of our chart. Then we have this solar eclipse coming on November 5th that's going to be the exact same degree as where Saturn went retrograde back in February. And we've been learning this year how to be with other people on a higher cultural level. We've really been called to not just take the high road, but to try to find a certain elegance, a certain dignity, a certain graciousness, and a refined way of relating to each other. And that's been what we've all been called to this year by Saturn. And this eclipse is going to fall right on that degree. And so I kind of have a feeling that it's going to help magnetize certain long-term Saturn patterns connected with high-level relationships in our life while removing all of those relationships that have not greeted us with elegance and grace and dignity this year. Mm-hmm. We've all been called to be like ambassadors or diplomats in some way. And I see that that eclipse is going to, because it is the embassy ball, and eclipses usually mean the taking away of things. I have a feeling that we're going to see just a whole lot of the political class removed during the years that this eclipse is going to be in play. And the only other thing I really wanted to remind people is that because of Uranus and Pluto, really, we're constantly being challenged to either be good Cancer, good Libra, or both. And that we also confront a season of interesting retrogrades. Mercury's going to be retrograde the 21st of October to the 10th of November in Scorpio. Venus goes retrograde 4 hours after the winter solstice on December 21st in late Capricorn, and retrogrades all the way back to mid-Capricorn through all of January. Then Mercury's retrograde again in February, Pisces back to Aquarius. Then Mars is retrograde in Libra all of March, all of April, and the first 19 days of May. And then Mercury's retrograde again between the 6th of June and the 1st of July between Cancer and Gemini. So we're looking here at a period between the third week of October and the first week of July that have 3 Mercury retrogrades, a Venus retrograde, and a Mars retrograde. Now, this happens every so often, and I do have articles in the archives covering the last time that Venus and Mars were retrograde. I don't really want to get into it now because that'd be more of a research project for people that cared. But just when retrogrades occur, we get to review, rethink, research. We get to retrace the ground. We get to understand that section of the zodiac from a different angle, a different pace of experience, a different way to process that information. And because it's traditionally slower, often I find that, like, for example, Mercury retrograde, the cosmic trickster and the guide of souls slows down so you can actually see how magic works. You can actually see how the trick works. You can take things into account that you never thought of before, that you never saw before, that you never imagined before. It fills in our understanding. And with Mercury, it's an understanding of how to coordinate things, how to perceive things. With Venus, it's really a rethinking and a reworking of our affections, our likes, our values, why we believe we should or shouldn't, can or can't get whatever it is we believe is pleasing to us, which is what our Venus function is And when Mars is retrograde, you just have to slow it down because some things have to get done before you can pick up the regular order of business. And so usually it means either reworking a plan or implementing a plan and then tinkering with the plan before you do it again. It can mean that some things just have to be slowed down or put on the shelf while other things develop. And there's no way to push the river. You can do whatever you want to do, but mostly I find that it's up to us to learn to adapt to what is so that we can bring the best out of the potential. And that I really believe that because, see, astrology, most people, they don't understand it's not a cure-all. You know, and one of the examples is that, you know, you can try to sell somebody something on the best day for selling things, but if they don't want to buy it, they're not going to buy it.
Yeah.
You can plant potatoes on a fertile moon, prepare the ground, but if there's snow, it's not going to grow. And, you know, there are real-world conditions, and it's just like sometimes we're highly, we have big chemistry with somebody else because of the you know, the synastry between the charts, you know, like their Venus is on our Mars or their moon trines our sun or whatever. And we feel all this magnetic chemistry with these people. But if we're on a path to higher self-realization and they're on a path to self-loss in the desire mind, then that relationship is not going to work. It's just not. Because you're on different spiritual paths. You know, I mean, you can't, you may feel highly attracted to somebody who's brutal, but that doesn't mean that you should necessarily dance with them, much less take them home. You know, and again, that's where we really have to be our own best friends, and we have to cultivate our highest possibilities the best we're able. Often we need the frictions of life. We need the challenges. We need the hard edges and hard angles of experience because that's where we choose not to pay the evil forward. It's where the buck stops and we generate a higher intention. We generate a higher awareness in the face of ignorance or brutality or evil or fear or selfishness or whatever. And by generating that positivity, we can overcome all of the negative tendencies, both within our own mind and even in the situations that we encounter, because we're not bound to somebody else's negativities, pessimism, especially doubt. Doubt is so corrosive. Mm-hmm. We don't need doubt any more than we need belief. We need knowledge.
I agree.
Once we have knowledge, then we know. Yeah. Then we're not believing or doubting.
Yeah, something you said earlier, and I want to go back to this, where, because I think, like, accepting what is, you know, what you said, the delayed gratification, accepting it what is. I think sometimes people, because we are relational beings, whether it's a person or a situation, I think sometimes the connecting is so important, so deep, but then people want to hold on to it. It may not be something that's forever. There may be something in that, you know, almost like a transit. It's your transit right now. How can one appreciate and honor what is without, you know, trying to make it something, you know, that you want? In other words, what is it really? It may or may not be what you want, or it might be what you want in the short term, but maybe not in the long term as well. Quick opening for Robert, that number 347-539-5122. We have a couple of people. I'm just going to check in to see if you had a question or comment for Robert, or you just wanted to say hello. We have 847-689. You're on air.
Hi, this is Jill. You already spoke with me.
Oh, great, Jill. Okay, so you're just saying, okay, great. And
but I'm listening, and it's really helpful and outstanding. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful, Jill. Wonderful. Okay. And then, yeah, so if you didn't want to get on air and you're listening via phone, just uncheck one. 910-262, I don't know if you had a question or comment.
Hi, yeah. Actually, I think I heard everything I needed to hear. That was awesome. So I'm very grateful.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Perfect. You're very welcome. I love it, Robert. There we go. Okay. I love that. So, yeah, so if anybody, you know, I do see we have other people listening by phone. If you did have a question or a comment or wanted to just say hi, that number is, again, 347-539-5122 for those of you listening in the chat. And those of you that are listening via phone, just press 1 on the keypad. And so, yeah, I want to make sure I say that because I sometimes get emails like, I was waiting and I wanted to say hi. And, you know, so just like to check in with everyone with that. Robert, when is, you were talking about the eclipse. Now, when is that, so the Grand Orestia and the solar eclipse? That's in February.
No.
Lunar eclipse.
The lunar eclipse is coming on October 18th
at
4:38
okay.
in the afternoon Pacific time, which is about 40 minutes after midnight in Greenwich on October
19th. Ah, okay.
Okay, and,
now,
and again, a lot
memory.
Of those
what?
Eclipse effects, those are going to be triggered in November and early December in a big way by transits. The
okay.
solar eclipse falls at 4:50 a.m. Pacific time, noon 50 p.m. Greenwich time on November 5th. That's
okay.
And look, eclipses may take something away, but this one's going to be fabulous because it's going to be conjunct Saturn and trine Jupiter. And that's the thing. We got all of this emotional intelligence. We had tremendous opportunities to cultivate emotional intelligence in June and July and August via the grand trines, the grand water trines, which I wrote about and we talked about, and you know they were the big news back then. And so
right.
a lot of us, because we stepped through this threshold where all of a sudden we're all feeling more since last
mm-hmm.
December. And then we got catapulted into new initiatives in the spring so that then we could come to that harmony of understanding. We could come to try to find a stabilized flow in our feelings, in our cares, in our relatedness, in our ability to feel connected both within ourselves and with other people. And that was June, July, August. Okay. Now, but all that was in early water. Now, because
mm-hmm.
of Jupiter having gone up to 21 Cancer, and it's going to go retrograde, and Saturn's moving forward, and this month right now it's going to be at 11 and 12 and 13 and 14, it's moving toward the trine again. The Jupiter-Saturn is going to be in trine really from now through November, December, even January. They're still going to be in trine. Then Jupiter goes direct in early March, and then gives us more grand water or more grand trines, water trines in April and May. So even though we have all of these T-squares and crosses that are jamming all of our gears from time to time, whether it's through feeling stuck in the water and you can't get things going, or you've got equally competing things that don't want to give an inch and they're not working together. they're creating friction in our life because we just can't bring them into harmonious movement. Well, all of this is helping us get clear about what we feel and why we feel it and how to come to use our emotional intelligence in the midst of frictional conditions. Because if we can do that, then we're not going to get thrown off our game by outer things. Again, that's part of learning what I would call spiritual mastery, is that we're not supposed to be having things and people throw us off of our inner equilibrium, you know, our equipoise, our spiritual understanding. We're not supposed to be tossed and turned by outer things as we move through this eternally transitory life. It's all transitory. So that's to teach us to be fully in the moment, right here, right now. Love who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, what you want to do. Whether you can do it or not, love it anyway. love the possibility that you can open to a greater love and a greater learning and a greater work and a greater joy and a greater play. Everybody's got to do something, so we might as well rejoice at our work. If we don't like it, then don't just cut the cord and wonder what's happening. Make a plan, take a look at all your skills and what you might like to do, and go take a look around. See what calls you. See, that's the thing. I think we get trapped into, well, what will another person think about it if I say this or do this? You know, I mean, the fear of public speaking is one of the biggest fears people have because they don't want to be judged for what they're saying. And a lot of times we feel like we have to go along with stuff that we really shouldn't be going along with because we don't believe it. It's not true. But we, with the fear that somebody else might think ill of us, is a very strong aversion, and yet aversion is one of the sources of suffering, and it teaches us a certain dispassion, an ability to look at all of our crap as basically happening to something we created. It's not really happening to us, but it's happening to this body, feelings, and mind that's running around trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm. And
it's really
having
remember,
that experience.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to suffer. Life is painful. I mean, that's just part of life. But, you know, there is pain. But we don't have to suffer. And I think breaking the link between pain and suffering may be one of the tests of applied emotional intelligence. You know, to be able to take a look at where we're stuck and maybe detach a little bit and just kind of take an arm's length look at it. And figure out what's real and what's unreal and what's long-term and short-term and what's core and what's peripheral. And is this series of feelings and ideas and behaviors actually taking me where I want to go? If it's not, then sit down, stop doing it, and make a plan. And you know, that's all you got to do is figure out what your heart calls you to do and be, and then find ways to practice that. And I think we get hung up in the changes, and that's why, again, the talks and the classes, if anybody wants to sign up or know more about them, go to the article on AquariusPapers.com where I've got this talk advertised. It's down a couple because today's John Lennon's birthday, so he's got the banner today. And but yeah, go to the comment stream and just leave your name and I'll get your email and we'll contact you from there. There's because navigating life, astrology is useful for navigating the cycles of life. We are an eternal consciousness, learning how to maneuver this body, feelings, and mind through all these changes. And the changes are seen in astrology. Again, and you and I have talked about this, there's only two things fated in this world. The rest of it is free will.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that was absolutely fated, it was destiny, was to be born where you were, when you were, to the folks you were. That was destiny. You were born to your family in that day and time. And then the only other thing I've found that seems destined is the timing on choices, not what choice we will make, but the fact that at such and such a point, we're going to have to make some decisions, and they are going to determine our life. And I think if we can remember to, you know, be thoughtful, we have divine power, we have divine love and wisdom and intelligence, we have the ability to detach and have a sense of humor, we have the ability to become reasonably objective. We have the ability to change pattern. If something is not fulfilling us or is leading us into hurtful results, hey, stop and do something else. don't keep doing that. And we have that divine power. And it really doesn't matter what other people think.
So, Robert, we're winding out now. We have to do part two. Okay. Lady on that. Those of you that have been listening, I know many of you do know Robert, however, if you're new to him or you want more information on the webinars, the classes that are coming up, you can go to AquariusPapers.com and to contact him for further information or insights, as well as his wonderful astrology charts. It's a good read. The blog is a great read. Always chocked full of a lot of insight and information, and sprinkled with some other stuff too, which is nice. It's a nice read. Thanks, Robert, so much for taking the time to be on Awakenings Radio. We so appreciate you coming back on and sharing with us.
Well, sure, Michelle. It's been fabulous. And just we're all one great big family globally. And because we are one great big spiritual family, we can learn from each other's successes as well as our struggles. And we really are all in this together. And we approach a larger evolutionary crisis where we really will learn to hold together as a spiritual family so that we can overcome any old sense of isolation or separateness that keeps us afraid or that keeps us feeling disconnected from other people.
Mm. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Do it again. Okay, talk to you later.
Okay.
Beautifully. Of course, that was Robert Wilkinson. You can find out more information by going to AquariusPapers.com. And reach out to someone today. Don't be afraid. You know, Robert was talking about fear, that fear of kind of being judged, you know, being yourself. Just reach out, and not just to another person, but to yourself. Reach out to yourself, asking yourself, what do I really want to do? What do I want to do right now? What do I want to try? What do I want to experience? What do I want to express? Try for a week or two and then get back to me. I love hearing people's stories and how they are traveling on the soul path. And of course, you can always email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com and let me know, or you can just call in. Anyway, as always, I love our Wednesdays together. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep